Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. He went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" Jesus is traveling, as it says, on his way to Jerusalem. These are part of Luke's travel narratives of Jesus, and he often is asked questions, and I'm always slightly amused, but also intrigued at the way that Jesus answers questions in ways that the people aren't expecting. So when the man asks Jesus, "Will those who are saved be few?" what is his real question? What's he asking? It's kind of hard for us to tell what it is that the man is truly interested in. Is he interested in salvation for the many, or is he interested in being in the right group of the few who will be saved? Could be either. It doesn't say who this man is. It just says someone said to him, "Who shall be saved? Will they be few, or will they be many?" Jesus, rather than giving sort of a deep or wide theological answer to this man's question, focuses it on the one asking it and says, you strive to enter through the narrow door. You. See, Jesus isn't necessarily interested in solving the problem for the man who may be of the few or who may be of the many. He wants to know where that person's heart is. Will those be saved be few? Maybe. The door is narrow. It's not the wide road. It's not the wide gate. It's the narrow door, the narrow path. You have to walk single file along this path. You don't get to walk in a big mass group towards the gate. It's a single file line. So you, Jesus says, strive to enter through the narrow door. Because there are some who will be last, who think they're first, and some who will be first, who you think are last. You strive to enter through the narrow door. How many of us, this is a gut check time, how many of us have been to a restaurant, doesn't matter which one, sat down, waited for your server to come, maybe they got your water or got you something to drink, and then some people came in and were seated after you, and by some bizarre happenings get served before you? What happens in here when that happens? Well, we were here first. We should be served first. We were seated first. They took our order first. We should be served first. It's a gut check because we feel like we deserve something. There will be those who are first who will be last to be served. Those who are last in who will be first to be served. It doesn't always make a lot of sense to us, and we get indignant when there are people who are served before us who are seated after us. So here's sort of a Jesus way to think about it. You've heard it said, we deserve to be served first. But I say to you, well, look at that extra time we have to talk with one another and get to know one another and share stories with one another. Because you know what happens as soon as the food comes. Talking stops, eating ensues, and then it's over. So thanks be to God for that little bit of extra time to have to talk with one another and to get to know one another. How many of us have been in the emergency room and maybe true emergency, maybe not as much, but then there's somebody comes in after us who doesn't seem to have anything wrong with them, who gets taken back first and taken care of first while we sit in the waiting room. Well, we were there first. They looked like they only maybe had a sprained ankle, and here I am with all of the other things that are going on with me. How come I wasn't taken back first? We get indignant. Now, truly, we may have emergencies that need to be taken care of immediately and sometimes get shuffled off by paperwork or whatever the case may be. However, you've heard it said, we deserve to be taken care of first. But I say to you, we should probably pray for that person who seems to be having quite an emergency. It's a gut check for us. Will those be saved be few? You strive to enter through the narrow door. It's a hard thing for us to think of others being served before us or others being taken care of before us, because we're pretty much used to first come, first serve idea of living. But that's not the way Jesus operates. Faith isn't a first come, first serve basis. And we struggle with that. We struggle with this idea of the older son and the prodigal son story that Jesus tells of, we've been doing it right this whole time. We deserve to have some sort of entitlement. We deserve something. But that's not the way that Jesus talks. There are some who are last who will be first. Some who are first who will be last. You strive to enter through the narrow door. So where's the gospel in this? Again, we hear a lot of law. We should, we need to, we strive, we try, we have our preconceived notions have to be turned around, and our own impatience need to be brought into check. We have a lot of things we need to work on in this earthly life, in this holy living. Well, the beauty of it is, just like the children's story of the tortoise and the hare that I told with the kids, we have somebody who has already done this. We have Jesus. The one who everybody in Jesus' day saw as last. He certainly wasn't the Messiah Savior that they were expecting. He wasn't born a king in a castle or in a palace. He didn't look like much. He grew up in Nazareth. He didn't grow up in Jerusalem. He wasn't born of a royal lineage in the sense of right to the throne. He was by all intents and purposes last or least among all of us. That's Jesus. He's the one who takes that last position. He's the one who sits down and waits for everyone else to be served. He's the one who came, in fact, to do the serving. So how do we strive to enter through the narrow door? With Jesus. We can't do it on our own. We can strive all we want. We can try and fix all of the problems that we have all we want. We can try and live that perfect life and do everything righteously. And yet we'll still fall short. But Jesus, the least among us, became the first. The first to be crucified for the sins of the whole world, yours and mine. The first to die on the cross, to be buried in the tomb, and to rise again, to be resurrected, the firstborn from the dead, Jesus, the resurrected one. So how do we strive to enter through the narrow door? Well, the door is shaped like a cross, and Jesus has already entered through it for us. And we can knock and bang on that door all we want, and we can say, this is who we are. Don't you know who I am? We deserve and we ought to, all we want. And that door won't open any faster. But it's through Jesus that we enter that door. It's through his sacrifice on the cross that we are given entry into his presence. It's through the word, through faith, through the forgiveness of sins, through his body and blood that he brings us into his presence. So we don't try and push and shove our way into heaven. We look to Jesus and we see what he has already done for us. And in that confidence, we can say, we strive to enter through the narrow door, through Jesus, into his presence. Now, when I worked up in northern Michigan at a summer camp, we had a saying. It was called the other fellow first. It wasn't easy for most kids to understand this, but it all had to do with making sure that everybody else had what they needed before helping yourself. So when our kids at our camp would sit down at our dinner tables, we would serve everyone else before we would eat ourselves. The other fellow first. It's a part of a way of life. It's a way of seeing what Jesus did for us as the other fellow first. See, Jesus is the one who has done it, who has served us, who has given everything for us, who has set the table and invited us to come and eat. And he serves each and every one of us, his own body and blood, for our forgiveness, so that that door can be open and we can enter into his presence forever. Amen. Now may the peace that is ours in Christ guard and keep us always in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. We respond.